And we're holding on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, about two-thirds of the way down the Amud by the two dots. The subject of this perek is the cases. The Torah tells us two cases involving relations with a Naira who is not Moirasa. If she's Moirasa, then she's already an Eshesish, and then there's Misa involved when a man has relations with her other than her husband. But the Torah tells us that if she's a Naira but not Moirasa, then there's two possibilities. There's Pitui, where someone seduces her, and there's Oines, where someone rapes her. So in Parshas Mishpatim, the Torah tells us about Pitui and tells us that if he does that, then he has two possibilities. Either he marries her and gives her a full ksuba as though she was still a basura, or he doesn't want to marry her, or one side or the other doesn't want the marriage to happen. He has the option to refuse it. And of course, so does she. And in that case, then he pays a knas of the equivalent amount that he would have if she were a basura. So 200 zuz, which equals 50 shekel, which is what the Torah says. Then in Parshas Kisetse, the Torah tells us about Oines, if he rapes her, where there he's required to marry her. She's, of course, not required to agree, as we'll see later in the Perek, but if he doesn't have a choice in the matter, even if she's ugly, even if she's below his dignity, etc., he has to marry her no matter what. And he also has to pay a fine. Also 50 slain. So those are the two possibilities. So our parak is talking about the details of those dinim. Now the Mishnah had told us that these dinim would apply even if the woman is someone who's osur by to him as chai v'krisus. So even if, for example, she was his own sister or any of various other arayas that we learned about in Yevamos, where there's kares but not Mrs. Bastian, still he would be required to pay the fine. So now Udiu and our sugya, the Gemara had dealt with the Gemara had began dealing with the question. There's a Mishnah in Makos that tells us that if a person does that demezid with such women, then he's chayav malchus. And of course, if it was consensual, then she's chayav malchus as well. The problem is, how could he be getting malchus and having to pay money? So we went through a couple of possibilities the Gemara had gone through. One is Ula had given an answer that our Mishnah is talking about when she's a Naira, and that one is talking about when she's a Begeres, beyond the stage of Naira. So then he holds that, so he holds in short that where there's both Mammon and Malchus, then he only pays the money and doesn't get Malchus. So therefore, when she's a Naira, then the fact that he has to pay the Mammon Knas overrides the Malchus. Only when she's a Begeres, where there's no more money, there's no more Knas, then he would get Malchus. That was one answer. Rabbi Yochanan had given a different answer, that it depends both of them are talking about which is a Naira, depends whether they gave him Asra or not. So if they gave him Asra, then he would get Malchus, and if not, then he's paying the money as an Or Mishnah. So now continuing on that topic, continuing with more answers about how to reconcile Or Mishnah with the Mishnah in Makos. How could it be that Or Mishnah is saying he pays the Knas, and that Mishnah is saying that he gets Malchus? So the Gemara says, Resh Lakish Omo Hamani Reb Meir. So Resh Lakish says the answer is that our Mishnah is going according to Reb Meir, the Amaloiko Mashal. Now Reb Meir would in fact say that a person could get both. Till now we've been assuming that it's not possible to get both. Either a person gets Malchus or he has to pay money. It's an example of what the Gemara calls Komle B'derabimine, that he gets the more severe stringent punishment. Now though, Resh Lakish is saying you don't have to say that. According to Reb Meir, he could very well be getting both. Well, the question is, if you're going to say our Mishnah is like Reb Meir, then wouldn't the same thing apply even if the woman was his own daughter, where the next Mishnah, and Daf Lamed Vav, is going to tell us that if it's his daughter, now remember, we learned in Yevamos, you have women you have relationships for which the maximum penalty is kares, for example, a sister or an aunt or various other ones. And then you have ones where the maximum penalty is Mrs. Bastin, for example, his daughter or various other examples that we're going to have there in the Mishnah. Now, the next Mishnah, which is a continuation of ours, Lamed Vav Lamed Beis, is going to say that if the woman that he was Mefata or Ma'anis was his daughter, then there's no Knas because then there's missing. instead. Well, if we're saying that omission is like remeir, then why would there be that distinction? According to him, on the face of it, the same way as we would say that a person could get both malchus and have to pay money, the same way there could be both missa and having to pay money. Well, you're going to answer, okay, maybe not. Maybe the mayor would make a distinction between Misa, maybe the mayor would only say that a person could get Malkus plus have to pay money. And therefore, in that would apply in our Mishnah if the woman was a sister, for example, but not but Mesa Mashalim Lesley. But you would say that maybe he would not hold that a person could get Misa and pay money. Well, the question is, Veloy, are you telling me that not? I'll show you something where the mayor seems to say that a person could actually be getting chiyuv misa as well as having to pay money. So then, if we're saying our Mishnah is like a mayor, then why would there be that? Then why would he make the distinction between chiyuv ekaris and chiyuv misa based in between a sister and a daughter? And that is v'hatanya we learn in a braisa. Now we know also in Parashas Mishpatim we know the Torah tells us that if a person steals something, then he's chayev to pay kefil, he has to pay double what the value of what he stole. And the pasuk tells us that if it was a sheep or an ox and he sold it to somebody else or he shefted it, then he has to pay extra. If it was a sheep, four times as much, and if it was an ox, five times as much. So the braisa says, ganav v'tavach b'shabbos, if he stole and shefted the animal on Shabbos, where by shechting it is one of the 39 malachas. So therefore now he's chayev misa for Shabbos. Or gun of the tavach la'avodas kechavim, or if he stole it and shechted it in honor of avodah zarah, where also he's going to be chayev misa for worshiping avodah zarah, or gun of shura nisko v'tvachai, or a third possibility, if he stole a shur haniskol and shechted it. Now that's different than the other ones. There's no isur misa, of course, for shechting a shur haniskol, but the point is that it doesn't have value. Shur haniskol, also for Parashat Mishpatim, we know it was a shur that killed somebody, that killed a person, where now the Torah tells us you have to take it to Beis Din and have a trial over there and give it skila, and that animal is also bahana, and therefore it's not worth anything. So now later on, the Gemara is going to ask if it's not worth anything, then how can we even talk about him stealing it? We'll get back to that point later on Daflam and Dalet. But anyway, the point is, in all these cases, so in two of these cases, there's a chiyuv misa involved. In one of them, on the face of it, the animal doesn't have any value to its owner, and nevertheless, so still in all those cases, mishalom tashlom abba v'chamisha divrei rameir. In all those cases, your mayor would say that he has to pay tashlom abba v'chamisha. Even though in the first two cases he's chayev misa, and even though in the third case, on the face of it, the animal isn't worth anything, nevertheless, he still has to. Divrei Reb Meir, b'cham and patrin, and the cham say that he's patur. So we see Reb Meir holds that even when there's chayev misa, then he has to pay. So now, if we were going to say, like Ula and like Reb Yochanan had said, that our Mishnah is like the Chachamim, then okay, we can answer that our Mishnah is talking about Naira, and the one that talks about in Makkos, that talks about in getting Malkus, is a Begeres, or there was Asra, or there wasn't Asra. But if Rish Lakish is telling us our Mishnah is like Reb Meir, then according to Reb Meir, why is there a distinction between whether there's a Chi of Karis or a Chi of Mrs. Based? And on the face of it, in either case, he should have to be paid. And the Gemara answers, "Ha itmar Allah." Yeah, but there was said about that by the Amoraim that it's not so simple. Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Yechanan, va'amila Amar Rav Yumiya, Amar Rav Shimon Lakish. So one says in the name of Rav Yechanan, the other one says in the name of Rish Lakish. Either way, they said Rav Ovin and Rav Ila b'chol chavurasim shmeid Rav Yechanan Amri, that Rav Ovin and Rav Ila and all the rest of the colleagues in the Beis Medrash all said in the name of Rav Yechanan that the Mishnah there is that the Braisa there rather was talking about b'teveach al yedei achol, is talking about where he has somebody else shecht the animal for him. So Reuven stole an animal from Shimon, and then Reuven gave the animal to Levi and told him to shecht it. So Levi ended up shechting it on Shabbos or for avodah zarah or whatever. So therefore, so Reuven's not chayev misa. He's not the one who shechted it, but he had somebody else do it. I mean, Rabbi Yochanan himself doesn't really need to give that answer because Rabbi Yochanan himself doesn't have to. Rabbi Yochanan himself gave a different answer to reconcile our Mishnah. So he doesn't necessarily need this answer, but nevertheless, he's answering within Rish Lakish's opinion that that Rav Meir would distinguish between whether the person himself shechted the animal, where, yeah, then we would say kom lebi derabbi minei, because he's chayav misa, versus when he himself didn't shecht it, he just delegated to somebody else to shecht it. Well, the question is, so how could it be? How you're telling me that Levi is shechting the animal and Reuven, who told him to do that, is going to be chayev the 4 or 5 times penalty? What happened to the concept of en shliach l'dvar avera? So the answer is Omar Rava, Omar Rachmana utvachay oimacharei. The answer is that Rava says, because look at how the Torah phrases it. The Torah mentions the two possibilities together, where he shechts it or he sells it. And that means there's a hekesh between shechting and selling. Mam chira al yidei acher. Selling necessarily involves a third party. You can't sell something to yourself. So obviously then there has to be a third party, Levi, whom Reuven sold it to. The same way, aftvicha al yidei acher. The same way we would say that, yes, that tvicha, he would be chayev, even though by tvicha it is possible for him to do it himself. We would say it's a gzeres hakosev, that in that case, according to the mayor, and maybe even according to the chachamim, only in this case of kam l'b'dirabim b'nei are they arguing. So in this case, yes, it's true, Reuven himself didn't shecht it, but Reuven himself can't be the one who buys it either. And still we're saying that Reuven is chayev when there's a third party. So therefore, he can be chayev when there's a third party who's shechting it as well. That's one way of understanding. In the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they learned a different source for it, because the pasuk says utvachay oy macharay, and the word oy teaches us l'rabbis tashliach to include where a person delegated to somebody else to do the shechting. And dvei chizkiyah tana tachas l'rabbis tashliach. And in the yeshiva of chizkiyah, they learned the third possibility, since the Torah says after it describes what he did, that he stole it or shechted it. So it said, shechted it or stole it. It said that he should pay 5 times tachas asher, ba'arba, or 4 times tachas aseh, and the word tachas is extra, because it could have after all said, yishalim bisher or yishalim biseh. So therefore, the word tachas comes to include also the rabbis, the shliach comes to include if a shliach shechted it for him. In any case, the point is, however we learn it, whether we learn it from the hekesh between mechira and tvicha, or whether from the word oy, or whether from the word trachas, either way, yes, if somebody else shechts it, we can still say that the ganav himself is the one who's chayev the 4 or 5 penalty. So now the machloikas would be that a mayor would say that would apply. So now, the mayor would say that applies even when there is a chiyuv misa involved, as long as it's not the ganav himself who's chayuv misa. Because if he was, then kam libid, then maybe we would say kam libid rabbi minei. So that would explain in our Mishnah where the man was ma'anis or mafata his sister who's a chiyuv kares, then the mayor is going to say that's not the maximum penalty is not misas based, and it's only malchus. So therefore he would get Malkus as well as have to pay. But in the next Mishnah, where it's his daughter or anybody else for whom he's Chayiv Misa, then we would say that he's not Meis or Meshalim. So that would explain the difference between the two Mishnayos. Meanwhile, the Chachamim would say that in those cases, since there's a Chayiv Misa in general, then there'd be no payment of 4 or 5. Which actually we'll get back to in a couple of lines. So why would the Chachamim say, after all, there is no Chiyuv Misa for the Ganav, so why would they say he's Potter? We'll get back to that in a few lines. But first the Gemara asks, Maskif Mazutra. So Mazutra questions that. So what are you telling me? How could you have a cake? You're telling me that if the Ganav himself were to shecht this animal on Shabbos, then he would be Potter from paying because Kom Levi Dinav. And because he delegated it to somebody else, you're telling me that he's chayev to pay. So you tell, how could there be a case where if he himself does something, he's not chayev? For ovid shliach umichayev or umichayev, and then if the shliach does it, then he is chayev. What's the logic? And the answer is ihu lav mishum b'lo mechayev el mishum b'kom lebed rabbi minei. So the answer is exactly that. It's not that he himself wouldn't be chayev. He himself would have been chayev, but kom libid rabbi minei overrides that and means that he's instead subject to the more stringent penalty, which is misa. So if there's a shliach involved, we're there. There's no kom libid rabbi minei, then the chiyuv of money takes over instead. So Rashi learns that either way he would be chayev. Tosfos says that maybe we would say, when we say kom lebedinabimine, maybe we would say that overrides the chiyuv so completely that he wouldn't even be chayev to pay back even lotzis l'diyei shamayim, even if, let's say, before he gets executed, he wants to do complete tshuva and actually return what he stole and pay the extra knas. Maybe even Tosfos says we would tell him he doesn't even have to do that. Whereas according to Rashi, maybe the implication is that he at least has that chiyuv, just that he's not required to do it. Anyway. So there could be the logic that even when there's a shliach involved, we would be mechayev him, and when not, then not that he's not actually chayev, but because kom lebe d'rabi mine overrides that. Okay, so now the question becomes: I b'teveach al yidei acha mai taimad d'rabana d'patri. Well then, if there's somebody else who shechted the animal, and that other person is chayev this and not the ganav himself, then why would the chachamim say that Reuven the ganav is potter? There's no kom lebe d'rabi mine. And the answer is man chachamim Reb Shimon. The answer is the chachamim over here are following the opinion of Reb Shimon, the Amar Shchita Shein Reuya Lo Shmo Shchita, where he says that if you shecht an animal and that shchita does not make the animal mutter to eat, then it's not considered a shchita. So Reb Shimon says that, in fact, in this din, in connection with this din about Tashlum HaAbah B'Chamisha, he also says it, for example, in connection with the din of Kisui Adam, that if a person were to shecht an animal for example, for Avodah Zarah, where now the meat of the animal is also to eat because it was a korban to Avodah Zarah, then Reb Shimon would say that's not considered a shchita, and for example, there wouldn't be a mitzvah of Kisui Adam with it. Or for example, actually, I don't know about Kisui Adam, but actually he would say, for example, yeah, I think he would, but also, for example, let's say in the case of Oisav Es Benoi, where the Torah tells us, we know that you're not allowed to shecht a mother animal and a baby animal on the same day. So now what if a person shechted one of them for Avodah Zarah? Then Reb Shimon would say that that's not considered a shechita because you're not allowed to eat the meat of that animal. And then you'd be allowed, then he or somebody else would be allowed to shecht the other animal of the pair on the same day. Tosfos discusses a little bit over here about the ins and outs of that. Would the Chachamim maybe hold only in those cases? Would disagree, but maybe over here they ought to agree with him because the Torah uses a different word, tvicha, instead of shchita. And Tosfos goes into a bit of discussion about that. But the point is, the Gemara is saying that only Reb Shimon would hold that's not considered a shchita. The other Chachamim who disagree with him would say that it is. Well, then the Chachamim in our Braisa over here are holding like Reb Shimon. Therefore, they say that's why he's potter if he shechted it for Avodah Zarah. Not because kom lebe d'rabimine, because again we're talking about somebody else shechted it, but because it's not considered a shchita b'chlal. Not considered a shchita. Well, then there's no tashlum abah b'chamisha. Okay. The question is hotenech avodas kechavim v'shara niskol. Fine. So that explains two out of the three cases. One where he shechted in honor of avodah zarah, where now the meat of that is also to eat. Or where he shechted a shirt hanisko, where after the verdict was given, then the animal was also bahanah. Actually, Tosfos brings a little bit earlier that Rabbi Natan in a few other places in Shas holds that in fact the shirt hanisko is not also while it's alive. It's more just that there's a mitzvah to bring it to Beis Din and have it tried and have the verdict and have the sentence carried out, but not that it's intrinsically also mechayim. But in any case, once you shecht it or once you kill it, then it's definitely also b'hanah. So then that explains it. So that would explain why, according to Reb Shimon, it's not considered a shchita, and that would explain then that the chachamim, now who hold according to Reb Shimon, would say it's not considered a shchita, and therefore no tashlumi dalad behe. But you have to ask, what about the case where he shechted on Shabbos? Isn't that considered a shechita that is roi? After all, as we're going to say now, if a person shechts on Shabbos, then the meat is kosher to eat. So in that case, then why would it be shechita shein roya? So that's the question. El shechita Shabbos shechita roi. If he shechts on Shabbos, isn't that considered a shchita which is roi? The Tnan, han shechet b'Shabbos of Yom Kippurim, afu b'shem eschayet v'nafshe shchitosek chera. After all, a Mishnah says that if a person shechts on Shabbos or on Yom Kippur, even though he's chayet misa, misa's based in the case of Shabbos, kores in the case of Yom Kippur, nevertheless, the shchita is kosher. So in that case, the shchiter ruya. So why would we be saying that? If we're saying according to Reb Shimon that only when it's shchiter sheni ruya would we say that it's potter? Then this isn't the shchiter sheni ruya. By the way, the Ran points out. I mean, on the face of it, we know that if a mummer shechts, then his shchiter is possible, and if a person breaks Shabbos the mezid, then he's a mummer. It's considered a mummer l'cholatur. So his shchiter ought to be possible. So he answers further down on the Omer, the Gemara is going to distinguish between the beginning and the end of the Shchita. So he says a similar distinction here as far as the beginning of the and the end of the Shchita, that we would say that only when he gets to the point of the Shchita where it's actually considered a Shchita in Halacha, where he's cut through most of the pipes, only then is it considered that he's done the Malacha of Shchita. And then at that point, only at that point does it become a Mummer. But by that point, the Shchita has already been done, and therefore the animal is kosher. And so again, the question is then that that's not a shchita shein ruya. And the answer is sabalak Rabbi Yechanan Sandler. The answer is the Tana of the Chachamim of Abraisa can hold like Rabbi Yechanan Sandler, who holds that in fact such things would be osur. Namely, the Tanya we learn in Abraisa. Hamavashal b'Shabbos, if a person cooks on Shabbos, and we're talking about not just cooking, we mean any other kind of malacha where without that malacha, the food wouldn't have been edible, which includes also shchita. So a braisa says, b'shoigig yoichal, if he did it b'shoigig, then it can be eaten even that day. B'mezid lo yoichal, but if he did it b'mezid, then he's not allowed to eat it. Then he's not allowed to eat it that day. Divir a mayor, that's what a mayor says. So the mayor would say that he himself is not allowed to eat it. And so if it was b'shoigig, the mayor is going to say even he could eat from that meat that day. Now we're talking about, obviously, he still won't be able, if he cooked it, then it's already ready to eat. If we're talking about shchita, then we'd be talking about, for example, that he'd be able to eat it raw. But if it was b'mezid, then Rameyer is going to say that Rashi learns, according to Rameyer, it would be he's never allowed to eat it, but other people would be able to eat from it, even though he did it b'mezid. Divir Rameyer, Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'shoigig ye'ochel ha'metzoy Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda says if it was b'shoigig, then it can be eaten on Matzoi Shabbos. So even if it was B'shoigig, we don't want him eating it on that day, even though it was B'shoigig, because Rabbi Yehuda says we can sin in Shoigig otu mezid, even though he did it B'shoigig, we're still going to penalize him because Shoigig might be confused with mezid, and therefore we're going to say that he can't eat it, that if he did it B'mezid, then he wouldn't be able to eat it. But on Shabbos, but Matzoi Shabbos, he would be able to eat it. And b'mezid lo yochal olamis, and if it was b'mezid, then it can never be eaten. Well, lo yochal olamis, then he can't eat it b'mezid. But if he did it b'mezid, but other people could eat it matzoi Shabbos. Rabbi Yechanan Sandla omer b'shoigig yochal matzoi Shabbos la'achedim b'loy loy. And then Rabbi Yechanan Sandla says if he shechted or cooked or whatever on Shabbos b'shoigig, then even so, he's the most stringent of all of them. He would say that the person himself cannot eat it on Shabbos at all, even though it was b'shoigig, and even on Matzoi Shabbos, he himself can't eat it. Yet ochel Matzoi Shabbos la'achedim v'loy loy. Only other people could eat it Matzoi Shabbos, but not him. B'mezid lo yochel olamis loy loy v'loy la'achedim. And if he did it b'mezid, then nobody is able to eat it after Shabbos, neither he nor anybody else. So that's according to Rashi. Tosfos discusses over here and other places in Shas some other possibilities, and then different other Rishonim talk about the different other possibilities, different other ways of learning the Gemara about who exactly is allowed to eat it. The actual halacha. Is for the most part like Rabbi Yehuda. So what would happen is Tosfos goes into some details over here about the different degrees of shoigig and mezid. The bottom line is we say that when that so you also have a machlokes between the Rashi and the Rambam on that. For example, after Shabbos, do they need to wait? B'chadesh ye'osu, when we're saying that it could be eaten after Shabbos, would it have to be when it can be eaten after Shabbos? According to Rabbi Yehuda, and according to Rabbi Yochanan Asanlo, would we say that that means immediately on Matzoi Shabbos, or would we have to wait b'chdei she'yosu? Would we have to wait the amount of time that it would take on Matzoi Shabbos to cook or to otherwise do this malacha? The actual halacha in Shulchan Aruch is basically like the Rambam's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, that if it was b'shogig, then he can eat it Matzoi Shabbos. If it was b'mezid, then other people can eat it Matzoi Shabbos, and it would be immediately. We don't have to wait b'chdei she'yosu. And it distinguishes over there in Shulchan Aruch on the basis of the Shitum Kubetzes, on the basis of various Rishonim, about a distinction between, for example, if you told a goy to do something on Shabbos, then we would say you have to wait b'chdei she'yosu, because telling a goy to do something is something that people treat more casually, and therefore the Chachamim find reason to be stringent on that. As opposed to a Jew doing malacha on Shabbos is not really a very usual thing. The Chachamim don't have to make a gzera that you shouldn't do that in the future, and therefore we can be matir it right away Matzoi Shabbos. And also, even if it was a Jew, if it was something, for example, that was begun before Shabbos and then continued on Shabbos, let's say, for example, a person put some food up without a blech and then cooked it, then also we would say you have to wait b'chdei she'yosu for the same reason, because people treat such things casually. Anyway, the point is that we have three different opinions over here, and one of them is Rabbi Yochanan Asandler saying that if a person did a malacha on Shabbos for mezid to prepare food, then nobody is allowed to eat it. So the Braisa we quoted before, talking about where the ganav shechted the animal on Shabbos, or we said he himself didn't shecht it, somebody else shechted it, but it would be considered shchita sheni ro'uya, according to Rabbi Yochanan Asandler, because you can't eat it. So the Gemara said, my time with Rabbi Yochanan Asandler. So why does Rabbi Yochanan Asandler say that? That it would be that if it was b'mezid, it's also to everybody. And the answer is k'didorosh Rav Chiya pischa de benesia. The answer would be like what Rav Chiya darshan in front of the house of the nasi, where the pasuk says shmartim as a Shabbos ki kodesh ilachem. The pasuk says you should guard the Shabbos because it is holy to you. Now, why does it have to use the word kodesh? Ma kodesh also ba'achila. We learn from that, just like kodesh, just like kodshim, are also to eat. For example, an ola is also for everybody to eat, or hektish is also until you buy it back from hektish. Af ma'isa Shabbos asur and ba'achila. The same way, things made on Shabbos by breaking Shabbos are also to eat. Well, the question is, I ma kodesh also ba'anah, af ma'isa Shabbos also ba'anah. Well, we know kodesh is not only also to eat, it's also ba'anah. You can't sell it. You can't give it to a goy, for example. Would you say the same thing with ma'isa Shabbos? And in fact, that's not so. Even Rabbi Yochanan Asandler is not saying that you have to throw away the food. He would say you could give it to a goy. You could sell it to a goy. So it's not like kodesh. So why not? Talmud Lomar lochem, because after all, the pasuk says kodesh yilochem, and the word lochem means shalachem yehei. In a certain sense, it's considered yours. So it's kodesh that you can't, that no Jew can eat it. Said Rabbi Yochanan Asandler would understand, but it's yours in the sense that you could still sell it. Yochel afilu b'shergig, and then continues Rabbi Chiya. You would think that applies even if he did it b'shergig. Talmud Lomar machalalel mois yumas. No, because the pasuk continues that anybody who desecrates Shabbos will be put to death, and obviously that's only b'mezid. Therefore, b'mezid amar to lochav loy b'shergig. Therefore, that applies only if it was b'mezid, not if it was b'shergig. So that is why Rabbi Yochanan Asandler would draw the distinction between b'shergig and b'mezid, and say that b'shergig it could be eaten on Matzoi Shabbos. Just Rabbi Yochanan Asandler would say that we penalize him and we don't allow him to eat it at all, because he, after all, did malacha on Shabbos, but other people will be able to eat it Matzoi Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "Pligi bar Rav Acha v'Ravina." So now Rav Acha and Ravina argue within that. Chad ama ma'ase Shabbos d'oraisa, chad ama d'rabbanan. One says that this iser of food that was prepared on Shabbos, that was cooked or whatever on Shabbos, that it should be osur, according to Rabbi Yochanan Asandler. One says that it's also daraisa, b'chadam adirabbanan, and the other one says that it's only dirabbanan. Mando am a daraisa kedamoran. The one who says daraisa would say, because we learned from the pasuk, ki kodesh hilochem. Mando am a dirabbanan. The one who says it's only dirabbanan would say, because on the contrary, amakra kodesh he. On the contrary, because the pasuk says it is kodesh. So the word he is a mute. He kodesh ve'in maaser kodesh. Shabbos itself is kodesh, but not things that were made on Shabbos would not be considered kodesh in terms of being osur. So we would only say, we would say there may be penalties that rabbanon involved on that. So therefore we would say that he's also to eat it if he did it. If he did it b'mezid or according to the Yehuda, even he would be allowed to eat it, but only on Mitzvah Shabbos, etc. But not that it's Daraisa. Okay. So now the question is, well, within Rav Acha Ravina, according to the opinion that even Rav Yechon Sandler is not saying that this food is also Daraisa, according to him, it's only also Darabonon, my time mayo Darabonon de Patri, then we have to go back to the Braisa about the Tvicha Mechira that took place, about the Tvicha that took place on Shabbos, where we're saying Rav Meir makes him Chayev for the Tashlome Abba B'chamisha and the Chachamim do not. So now, if it's only also derabanan, why would the chachamim patter him? Sure, we would say it's not if you can't eat it because of the din derabanan, but that wouldn't be a reason to patter him from the chachamim. Wouldn't therefore be pattering him from a penalty, from a 4 or 5-fold penalty that he should be chayev daraisa, where according to that daraisa, the meat of this animal would have been mutter to eat. And the answer is kikapati rabbanon ashaara. The answer is you're right. When the chachamim say he's potter, they're talking about only the other cases. They're talking about the case of Avodah Zarah and the case of Shor HaNisko. Then they would say that he's potter. But in fact, you're right. Based on what was according to the opinion that even Rabbi Yechon Asanlo says that the meat of the animals are also only the rabbanon, then yes, you would necessarily have to say that the chachamim would agree with Reb Meir that if he shechts on Shabbos, that he is in fact, or somebody else shechts on Shabbos, then he is in fact chayef tashlumei dalad behei, because the fact is there's no chiyuv misa. He himself didn't shecht the animal. So there's no kom lebe derabimine, and it's a shchita ruya, because on the daraisa level it would have been valid. Which in that case, Tosfos says you're right. Then didn't really need to mention the case where he shechted on Shabbos at all. Fine. Now getting back to the case of where he shechted for Avodah Zarah, teveach l'Avodas Chachamim, we have to ask when he shechted in honor of Avodah Zarah. The problem is why is he high of the penalty? Given the shochat beporta itzale, as soon as he starts shechting the animal, it becomes also as zivchei mesim, as a korban to Avodah Zarah. Idach ki katavach lav demore katavach. By the time he continues shechting the animal, by the time he gets to the point where it's a valid shechita, then he's not. Then it's not an animal that belongs to the owner anymore, because by now a person can't aser something that belongs to somebody else. But that's when there's no maisa involved. So if Shimon owns an animal and Reuven takes it and bows down to it, it doesn't become aser. But if Reuven does a maisa in the animal, such as shechting it, then sure, it becomes aser. So as soon as Reuven starts shechting the animal, it becomes aser. And by the time he reaches the point where it's considered a shechita, then it's not Shimon's anymore. So why is he chayev to pay? And the answer is, Rava says, fine, but we're talking about where he's saying to begin with that he has intention to worship the Avodah Zarah with Shechita only when he finishes the Shechita. So then, but while he's shechting, the animal still belongs to the owner because he hasn't yet designated it as a korban for Avodah Zarah. Therefore, he's potter from Misa until he finishes the Shechita. And at that point, the chiyuv of... At that point, the chi of mammon has already kicked in. Okay, the next question is shor haniskol lav didehu. The question is the shor haniskol doesn't actually belong to the owner either. So again, Tosfos points out earlier, according to Rabbeinu Tam, in fact, it does belong to the owner as long as it hasn't been shechted, but certainly as soon as it becomes shechted, as soon as it's shechted, then it's also bahano. We know that from other Gemaras, and then you have the in all those places, Rabbi Natam says that, and then Tosfos discusses the ins and outs of that. Maybe in fact it is also Mikhayim. Anyway, the point is, on the face of it, it doesn't belong to the owner. So lav di dehu de katabach. So again, it's not something that belongs to the owner because it's also Bahana. And the answer is Omar Rabba, Hocha Mayaskinen, Kagunsha Mustra Lashoim. Now, in fact, before we get to the answer, actually, the truth is there is a machloikas Rishonim on the question when something is also Bahana, can we say that it no longer belongs to the owner, or can we say that not? There is a machlokas Rishonim on that point. There are Rishonim who learn that even though something is also Bahana, we can still say it's owned by the original owner, So then they would have to understand our Gemara over here that still it's not a complete ownership because after all, he doesn't have the rights to use it. So therefore, in that sense, it's not fully considered his anymore. If we say that something that's also Bahano is no longer considered his, well then our Gemara reads more straightforwardly. Anyway, so Omar Rabba, Hocha, Maya Skinem, the answer is we're talking about over here. We have to figure out what's the case where he shechted the shor hanisko kugan shemosre l'shomer. Suppose that the owner gave the animal to a shomer to watch, the hizik beveis shomer. While the shomer had it in his possession, it caused damage. It killed somebody. It gored somebody and killed him. The nigma dine beveis shomer. Then while it was in the shomer's house, under the Shomer's responsibility, they brought it to Beis Din and tried it and decided that it is a Shor HaNisko and it is Chayav Nisa. The Nigma Dinim Beis Shomer, the Gonve Ganim Beis Shomer. Now the Ganim stole it from the Shomer's house, and now the question becomes, what's the Chiyuv of the Ganim? But a mayor, Savalak Rab Yaakov, the Savalak Rab Shimon. So we can say that a mayor, when he says the person is potter from paying, holds in a certain din, like Rabbi Yaakov, in a certain relevant din over here, holds like Rabbi Yaakov, and in another relevant din, holds like Rabbi Shimon, and by putting all that together, it would result in saying that he's potter. Namely, Rabbi Yaakov, the Amar Achmish Enigma Dine Hachzira Shem L'Bayil of Mitzar, Rabbi Yaakov holds now. So let's say, for example, let's forget about the case for a second where somebody stole it. Suppose you have the regular case where a person owns an ox, he gave it to a shomer, it gored while it was in the shomer's possession, it was nigma dinoi, and now the shomer wants to return it. Is that considered returning it? Can the owner say, one second, I gave you an ox that's mutar b'hanah, and you're returning me an ox that's also b'hanah, that's no good, give me the value of it. Or can he say, an ox is an ox? Rabbi Yaakov says he could. Rabbi Yaakov says that an ox is an ox. You gave me an ox, I'm returning you an ox. The din of the ox changed in between. Not my problem. So Rabbi Meir would hold like Rabbi Yaakov and therefore would say that the ox is still considered the owner's. Also, Rabbi Meir would then hold like Rabbi Shimon, who says that when you have something which it itself doesn't belong to you, but the result of your semi-ownership of it is mamon, then he would say it's considered mamon. So namely, for example, let's say, going back to this case of Tashloma Abba B'Chamisha, what if the animal was an animal of hektish? Or specifically, what if it was what's called kodshim shechaya b'achri yosan, namely, where the person was makdish, where he's makdish the animal, And in a way where he's chayev if the animal gets lost or stolen or what have you. He said a neder, for example, he said, Hare alai oila, I am obligated to bring an oila or what have you. And where the din is that if the animal that then he designates to fulfill that neder is lost or stolen or becomes a balmum or what have you, then he has to bring a different one instead. So now the animal itself doesn't belong to him because it's kodshim, because he said it's going to be an oila. On the other hand, he's chayev b'achri yosan. So therefore, that's gerdim l'mamon. So it causes a chiyuv mamon, and Reb Shimon would hold such a thing as considered mamon, and therefore the tashluma abba b'chamisha would apply. So now, putting that all together, then we would say that even though the shor haniskal itself is not considered, is not worth anything because it has to be stone and it's also b'hana, nevertheless, we would still say that it's considered like mamon. Because again, the shomer would have to return the animal itself or the value of it. So therefore it's going on the moment. So now we can say that Reb Meir holds like all of that. And that is why Reb Meir would say that he still has to pay the Tashloma Abba B'Chamisha, even though it was a shor hanisko. Meanwhile, the Chachamim would be disagreeing on one or another of those points. And therefore they would say that he's potter. Actually, Tosfos brings up a point that Reb Meir himself holds of a concept called dina de garmi, which is that we have, if you indirectly cause somebody a hezek, then Reb Meir often makes you chayev to pay. So why do we even need dover agorim l'mamon over here? And Tosfos distinguishes between different kinds of dover agorim l'mamon. One possibility Tosfos says actually is that Reb Meir would be mechayev you only did a banan, and here we're talking on a deraisa level. There is the Ramban in particular wrote the Ramban wrote a whole kuntras called kuntras Dina Degarmi, dealing with in great detail this whole matter of Dina Degarmi versus Groma, and when a person is chayev and when he's potter and so forth. So not necessarily would Dina Degarmi apply in this case. So again, Tosfos distinguishes between different kinds of garmi. One possibility is there's difference between different kinds of garmi, where, for example, Reb Meir would be mechayev dinah de garmi in a case where anybody could have hanah from it, whereas over here, the only one who the shor haniskal is worth anything to is the shomer, that he's able to return the shor haniskal and be potter from paying, but it's not roi for anybody else. So when we say davar agom l'mom and k'mom and dummy, then we'd have to bring in that opinion of Reb Shimon in order to make this work. Okay. Anyway, so all of that is one way of explaining that we're talking about over here, why Reb Meir would be mechayev him, because we're talking about it's a matter of Dovra Agrim L'mom. Rabba Omar, Rabba gives, so now let's go back. We said before, we started by asking the question, why does Reb Meir say that he's chayev in the case where he's shechted for Avodah Zarah or what have you, where he would be chayiv misa, and we answered that he didn't shecht it himself; he had somebody else do it. So now, going back to another answer on that point, Rabba says we can, in fact, be talking about where he himself shechted it. So then the question is, in that case, then he's chayiv misa. So why would Reb Meir say that he's chayiv to pay? Reb Meir loiko mashalim isle mesa mashalim lesle. The answer is, like we said earlier in the sugya, Reb Meir would say that Reb Meir would say that usually a person can only get malchus as well as pay. Usually Reb Meir would say that a person can't get misa as well as have to pay. The shiny honey, but it's different in these cases. Because after all, we would say there's a chidush that the Torah says, as far as this knas, the whole matter of knas, the whole concept that you should have to pay four or five times the amount that a person stole, itself is a chidush. So therefore, the mayor can say that there's a chidush over here. So therefore, we can say a further chidush in it, afagav the nikdum mashalim, where even though he's being executed for shechting for Avodah Zarah or shechting on Shabbos, still he would have to pay. So therefore, we could answer that. We don't have to say anymore, says Rabbah, that he had somebody else shecht the animal, and therefore there's no kum libi d'rab aminei. We could say that Reb Meir does not hold kum libi d'rab aminei when it comes to knas. And the Gemara says, "Va'azda Rabba l'taimei." In fact, Rabba goes according to his own svara. Do Amar Rabba hoyeg di gonuvloi. If a person had a kid goat stolen from him, where that's included in what the Torah says that you have to pay four times as much. The tovche b'Shabbos and the ganav shechted it. So if the animal was stolen on a weekday, so now the ganav became chayev in the keren, and actually in the tashlumei kefil already on the weekday, and then tovche b'Shabbos, and then he shechted the animal on Shabbos chayev. Then he would be chayev the full four and five shekvan is chayev b'gneva kodim shiyava the day isur Shabbos, because he already became chayev in the issue of Gneva and in the penalty for Gneva before he ever reached Issur Shabbos. So therefore, Rabba holds like Reb Meir that even though he's shechted on Shabbos, he's still chayev. And therefore, we would say that he's chayev because the original Issur was the original Issur Gneva was done on weekday. On the other hand, Rabba continues, gun of the tovach b'Shabbos potter, but if he did everything on Shabbos, if he stole the animal and shechted it on Shabbos, so then the moment that he became chayev in the moment, he also became chayev in the Issur Shabbos. Now, earlier in the Perek, it talks about the various possibilities. Usually, as soon as he picks up the animal, he's chayev in Gneva, and Shabbos, he'd only be chayev in as soon as he brings it out to Rosh Hashanah. But the Gemara discussed various possibilities, how we could get around that, one of them being that, for example, he dragged it out, so there was no akira v'hanocha, so therefore, the moment he takes it out to Rosh Hashanah Abim is the same moment where he becomes chayiv in Issur Gneva. So then we would say, that, so if he did all that on Shabbos, potter, then Rabbi would say that even Reb Meir would say he's potter, she'imen Gneva in tvicha v'in mechira. Because without the chiyuv of Gneva, without being chayiv misa, without being chayiv the keren, without being chayiv to pay for the Gneva, he can't be chayiv for the tvicha and the mechira, because after all, the Torah tells us you have to pay four and five. If you were to say that he's chayiv only the extra payment for shechting and not the initial payment for the actual theft, then you would say he's not paying four or five, then he's paying three or four times as much, and you can't have that. So therefore, so Rashi points out that you could say, for example, that he actually picked up the animal, and we would say, we don't say chai no se satme, we would say that that he picks it up, then it's considered carrying on Shabbos, or for example, the animal is tied up, whatever the case, the point is, if when he becomes chayev in the Isser Gneva, at that moment he's also chayev in Isser Shabbos and becomes chayev in Issa, then we would say that he's potter from payment because kom libedirabimine. But if he already stole earlier and then only the shechita took place on Shabbos, then Reb Meir would be mechayev. And Tosfos points out Rabba himself doesn't necessarily agree with Reb Meir, but he's explaining Reb Meir's shechita. And the Omer Rabba, Rabba says, here's another din in this connection. Now let's talk about on a weekday. Now, so far we've been talking about Shabbos, where a person is chayev for carrying out on Shabbos and a person is chayev for shechting, is chayev misa for shechting on Shabbos. We know that there's another case of a ganav where there's a chiyuv misa. Namely, the Torah tells us in Parshas Mishpatim, im b'machteres yimotzei aganav, if a ganav is tunneling into a house, then if the owner of the house finds him over there, then ein loy damim, then if he kills him, it's not considered that he spilled blood, because the person, the Gemara explains in Sanhedrin, when a ganav comes breaking in or tunneling into a house like that, he knows there's a good chance that the owner is going to stand up against him, and he's ready to defend himself, even if it means killing the balabas. So therefore, the Torah tells us if somebody is coming to kill you, then you go and kill him first. So now Rabba says, here was a din in that connection. Suppose that previously the ganav stole the animal, not in a way of machteres, not in a way where he would be, where the owner could kill him. So the tovche b'machteres, and now he's shechted it in the machteres, so he's breaking into the house again, and he's shechting the animal right there in the machteres. Chayev, then he would be chayev to pay the four or five times, shekvar nischayev b'gneva, kodim shiyavu l'de'is machteres, for the same reason, because he was already chayev for the gneva before he ever came to the machteres. So by the time we come to the machteres, where he's chayev misa, then he's already chayev in the gneva, and therefore the tvicha and mechira can go along with it. On the other hand, ganav v'tavach machteres, but if everything took place in the machteres, he stole the animal and he shechted it all there in the machteres, then Rabba says potter, then he would be potter from the payment at all, for the same reason, for the same reason, because he can't be mechayev him for the shechting or the selling without being mechayev him for the gneva, because again, the Torah tells us four or five, and within that four or five is the keren that he has to pay for the actual theft. And the actual theft himself was saying he'd be potter because kam lebedirabamine, because at the moment he became chayiv in the theft, he also became chayiv misa for Shabbos. Now, why did Rabbi have to tell us two dinim that seemed to be the same thing? The Gemara says otzricha. Rabbi needed to tell us both dinim. The Iyashmin and Shabbos, because if he only told us the case where he shechted or where he stole and shechted on Shabbos, you would say the difference is mishum b'isura isur olam. Because after all, any time forever after where they come to Beis Din and testify that he did this on Shabbos, then he's going to be chayav misa. So it's an ongoing thing. Avo machteres, the isur shahu, but when it comes to machteres, it's only on the spot. Only if the balabas finds him on the spot in the machteres, then he can kill him. Once the guy has left the machteres, then he's not chayav misa anymore. So you could argue that maybe the din is different. Maybe it's more lenient. Maybe you would think the din doesn't apply and he's chayev to pay regardless. The Iyashmin and Machteres, on the other hand, if Rabba told us the din only in connection with Machteres, you would say, you know why he's chayev? In the case of Machteres, mishum de machtauto zuhi hasra also. Because you don't need any hasra. When you find a ganav in a Machteres, you don't need to first give him hasra, get out of here, or I'm going to kill you. On the spot, the balabas is allowed to kill him. Avol Shabbos de boy Asra, but when it comes to Chilul Shabbos, after all, you need Asra in order to execute him. So Amalois, you would think maybe not. Maybe the fact that he needs Asra means therefore that maybe therefore it's more lenient than Ramachteres. Tzricha, and therefore Rabba had to tell us, both did. So either way, Rabba is saying if the chiyuv of Mammon comes at the same time as the chiyuv of Misa, then he's Potter. But if they came separately, if the first chiyuv of Mammon for the Gneva came before there was ever an Isra Misa, before Shabbos or before the Machteres, then even though the Tvicha itself happened on Shabbos or happened in the Machteres, then he'd still be Chayev for the full four or five times. Again, this is going according to the mayor before who says that he's Chayev, and then Chachamim, we said, on various grounds, would say he's potter. So the Gemara continues in this connection. Amar Papa, hoisa pora gnuvaloi v'tovcha b'Shabbos. If a person had a cow that was stolen from him, and it was and the ganav shechted the animal on Shabbos, chayev, then the ganav is going to be chayev to pay the five times. It's for the same reason, Shekranis Chayev B'Gneva Kodim Shiyava the day Isur Shabbos, for the same reason, because he already had the Chiyuv of Gneva before he ever came to the Isur Shabbos. Hoysa Parah Sh'ulaloi. On the other hand, if he had borrowed the cow, V'tavcha B'Shabbos, and then he, the borrower himself, shechted the animal on Shabbos, Potter, then he would be Potter, because the difference is that then he had it in his possession. At the time, he was validly allowed to have it in his possession. He had borrowed it, but he's not allowed to shecht it. So the moment that he shechts it, then you have, at that same moment, then you have Misa and Mammon, Boing Ka'echad, the chiyuv of having to repay the owner for it, and the chiyuv Misa for Shabbos come at the same time, because after all, because it was on Shabbos. Rashi points out, by the way, that here, that we can't say, like we said before, Imein Gneva Ein Tvicha Vein Mechira, because Rashi points out by a shoyl, you don't really have you don't really have the concept of kefil or above hamisha. I mean, he's always a shoyl is always chayiv to pay back whatever he borrowed, even if there was an onus. He always has to pay that amount. The knas would only be if he falsely claims that it was stolen, and we're not talking about that over here. On the other hand, it brings over here an agos tzionim that there is a way that we can be goyis it, because after all, the fact is that if on Erev Shabbos he hadn't yet stolen it, and only on Shabbos does he steal it by shechting it, and therefore maybe we could say that he would be chayev in the four or five times, but again, because it's Shabbos, he'd be potter. So Omelet of Achabred, the Ravel of Ashi, the Papa Pora, Osalashmin. And what is Rapapa's Chiddush? Rabba told us the same din in the case of a Gdi, a young sheep or a young goat. Rapapa is telling us the same thing as far as a cow. What does Rapapa have to tell us that the same din applies to a different animal? We know that. And the answer is Omelet Rapapa Sha'ula, Osalashmin. No, the Chiddush, says Rav Ashi, that Rapapa wants to tell us is the case of Sha'ula, which Rabba hadn't mentioned, the case where he borrowed. Without a papa having told us, you would think, after all, a papa himself says that when does the shoyl become chayev to feed the animal? As soon as he does meshicha on it, which brings it into his rishus. So you would think by the same token, we would say that as soon as he borrowed it right away, he has a chiyuv keren on it. And therefore, we can say that he's already chayev mammon before Shabbos ever came, before he ever shechted it. Kamash Malan, then therefore, that's why the Papa is telling us that no, the fact is, as long as the animal itself is still alive, then he has to return the actual animal itself. So therefore, we can't say that the chiyuv keren really kicks in. The chiyuv where he has to repay the value of the animal doesn't really kick in until he actually steals it and shechts it. And when is that taking place? On Shabbos, and therefore he's potter on the grounds of Kom Lebedirat. So that's Rav Papa's chiddush. And by the way, the Gemara tells us Amar Rava. So in this connection, Rava says another din that comes out from what Rav Papa said. He niach lahen avian para sha'ula. Suppose that you have Yisoimim, who their father left them a cow that he had borrowed. So Reuven borrowed a cow from Shimon. Reuven passed away. Now his Yoshim have the cow, then they're still allowed to continue using it until the original time of the she'ela is over. So Reuven had borrowed the cow for 30 days. He passed away during the 30 days. His heirs are still allowed to continue using the cow for the rest of the 30 days. On the other hand, if the animal dies, then they're not chayev in the oinus because the shoyel himself is chayev for anything, including oinus, because he has the hanah from the animal, but they themselves didn't take that responsibility. Therefore, even though they're allowed to use it, they're not chayev for the oinus. Tosfos points out they would be chayev b'gneiv of aveda because after all, they do have a certain degree of hanah, but since they're not the original borrowers, then they would be chayev for oinus sin, such as the death of the animal. And Rava continues, Kisvurin Shalaviyami, what if they mistakenly thought that this animal belonged to their father? V'tavchua v'achloa, so they shechted it and they ate it. Then we do make them pay Mishalman Dmei Bosa Bezoil. They do have to pay, but only the cheaper price of meat, which in other places, it explains that it means two-thirds of the value. So in other words, so they shechted this animal, so we're going to figure out the value of the meat. Two-thirds of that is what they're going to have to pay. The logic being, Mephoshim explained, a person might have said, listen, if we had known this wasn't our father's animal, we wouldn't have shechted it. On the other hand, we tell them, yeah, but if let's say you found meat in the store at a discount at two-thirds of the usual price, you would buy it even if you weren't regularly going to eat meat. So therefore, we can put you on the hook for that. And continues Rava, another din, he niach lahem aviyam achrayus nechasim. What if their father left them achrayus nechasim on which there is achrayus, namely karka, where when it comes to metaltelim, there's no achrayus because you sell them and then they're out of the picture. But on the other hand, when it comes to karka, there's always achrayus because even if they sold it to somebody else, then the one they owe money to can expropriate that property from the one they sold it to. So then, Chayav and Lashalim, then they're chayav to pay. Now, what part does that last statement refer to? Ika demastin la resha, the ika demastin la sefer. Some say that achrayus nechasim part refers to the resha. So we would say, in other words, that they are in fact chayav and oinsin. So we would actually make them pay for the oinus, for the death of the animal. So the Ikka Demastin La Sefer, others say that last statement refers to the Sefer. Man Demastin La Resha, if we say it refers to the Resha, Kol Shekin HaSefer. How much more so in the Sefer, where they shechted the animal, thinking that it was their father's, we're then all the more so, because of Zachariah's Nechasim, we're going to make them pay. Man Upliga de Rapapa, and according to that, we would say that the whole statement disagrees with Rapapa. So Rapapa would say, as we said before, that only when the oinus happens, for example, and so when the animal dies, or we said earlier, when he himself shechts it, only then does the chi of mammon kick in, not from the time they borrowed it. Well, then we would say, if we say now that we make the yesomim pay for the oinus of the animal, then we would say that disagrees with Rapapa. The ikka demasni, uman demasni la sefer. Whereas if we say the part about achrayus nechasim refers to the sefer, only the case where they shechted the animal thinking it was their father's, then we would say they don't just pay two-thirds, then they pay the full amount because they should have been more careful. Then we would say that refers only to the sefer, but the resha aval resha loy, but not to the resha. We wouldn't require them to pay. Because, in other words, we wouldn't say there's a shibud on the father's property from when he borrowed it. And in that case, behind the Rapapa, then in that case, that fits exactly with what Rapapa says, that we would say that the chiyuv of mammon doesn't kick in when he borrowed it, only when the onus happened to the animal, or Rapapa had talked about before, when he himself shechts the animal. Which the halacha usually in the Gemara, when we have two lashonas, the halacha is usually like the second one, and that's what it is over here. So we would say that the children are allowed to use it until the end of the term of the she'ela, and if it dies, they're not chayiv in the onsin of it, even if they have karka that their father left them. On the other hand, if they shechted it, that's when you make the distinction. If you didn't leave them karka, then they're paying two-thirds, and if you left them karka, then they're paying the full value of it. Okay, so then we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, with dealing with the continuing on this topic of understanding the we had Rav Meir telling us, we had Rav Meir and the Chachamim arguing about if he shechted the animal, if he stole and shechted the animal on Shabbos or Avodah Zarah or whatever. So we had Rav Yochanan saying that he had somebody else shechted it. And Rish Lakish said that, and Rabba rather saying that he himself, we're actually going to go back to tomorrow to why it is that we have different understandings of how we reconcile on Mishnah with the Mishnah in Makos, where again we said an on Mishnah is paying a knas for the pitui or the onus of his sister, whereas in the Mishnah in Makos it says that he's getting Malkus for having relations with her. So we had a couple of different answers, and we'll deal with tomorrow why we need all those different answers and why the different Amoraim hold differently about that.